His arms are open wide. This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
Welcome to Thy Word is a Lamp. This is a Family Bible Teaching Ministry. Today you will be listening to our Bible teacher, Sheila Suarez.
Praise the Lord. It's so good to be back here this Saturday to bring forth the Word of God. I just want to thank God for all His goodness and His mercies towards us. He has spared us so that we are back and we don't take it for granted, but we are just grateful for what God is doing in our lives. So we are going to be continuing in 1 Peter chapter 3. Last week we stopped at verse 11. And we are going to continue to the end of 1 Peter chapter 3. But before we begin, let us pray. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. We thank you for all your goodness, for all your mercies, for your grace, O God, which is sufficient to keep us. We thank you for who you are, O God. You are God and God alone, and there is none like you. We thank you, O God, that you reign supreme. You rule and reign over everything. You are the sovereign God. So we praise you this evening. We give you glory, and we just thank you for this another opportunity to bring forth your word. Your word, O God, which is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Your word, O God, which is the bread of life. If we eat of your word, O God, your word tells us that we will never be hungry again. Father God Almighty, we pray in the name of Jesus that we will eat and be filled up with you so that we will go forth, O God Almighty Lord, in your name to do your will. Lord, I just thank you again for all our listeners who take the time out, O God, to hear your word. And we pray, O God Almighty, in the name of Jesus, they will not become forgetful hearers, but they will be doers of your word. Lord, I thank you again for this opportunity. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are with us, and that you will lead and guide us into all truth. We bless your name. We praise and honor and give you glory. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. So we recap verse 11 of 1 Peter chapter 3. Peter was speaking to the brethren. He said, "Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it." So Peter was reminding us as the people of God to turn away from evil and do good, to seek after peace and to pursue peace. So we want to be peace seekers and we want to be following after peace. Verse 12 of 1 Peter chapter 3. "For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil." The word of God is so clear here, people of God, that the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. The eyes of the Lord are over those who are in right standing with God. The righteous are those who are in right standing with God. And the only way we can be in right standing with God is when we have put our trust in Jesus Christ. The word of God tells us that we are justified by faith in Jesus Christ. We are declared righteous by putting our faith in Jesus Christ, who he is and what he has done for us at the cross. So the eyes of the Lord, God's eyes, his attention is upon those who have put their trust in Jesus. And his ears are open unto their prayers. So when we pray, people of God, once we have truly put our trust in Jesus, the word tells us that the ears of the Lord are open to our prayers. He has inclined his ears to us who have put our trust in Jesus. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. People of God, we are called to do good and not to do evil. Let us put away evil from us and do good. The Lord will hear and answer our prayer. His face is turned away from those who are doing evil. So let us do good. Pursue what is good. Pursue peace. Pursue righteousness. Pursue our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 13 of 1 Peter chapter 3. "And who is he that will harm you if ye be followers of that which is good? Who can harm you if you are following what is good? You have nothing to be afraid of if you are doing good. Proverbs 16:7 said, when a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. People of God, the Lord is calling us to do what is right, to do what is good. Who can harm you if you be followers of that which is good? So let us pursue what is good. Let us do what is good. Pursue holiness. Pursue righteousness. Pursue godliness. And the word of God says, tells us, when a man ways, please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. People of God, let us trust God and do what is right. Verse 14, but and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye. So Peter was saying to the brethren, if you suffer for righteousness' sake, you should be happy. And be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. And the word of God reminds us in Matthew 5:11-12, as Jesus was speaking to his disciples. He said, blessed are ye. 5:11-12. It says, blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. He said, rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. So don't think that this is anything strange happening to you. We will be persecuted, people of God. If we decided to live godly, we are going to be persecuted. So when persecution comes, let us not think that this is strange to us. Jesus reminds us that we then, when these things happen, you know, we should be exceedingly glad. We should be rejoicing because they are doing it. They think that they are working against us, but it's really our Lord they are against. If they persecute him, they will also persecute us. They hate him without a cause, they will hate us also. So let us remember these words. So when suffering comes, when persecution comes, we will not be afraid and start to run and hide, but we will stand courageously and declare the word of the Lord. Verse 15 of 1 Peter chapter 3 said, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. So Peter was saying to the believers to let the Lord be set apart in their hearts. Let the word of God be at the forefront of their minds, so that by the help of the Holy Ghost working through them, they will have a ready answer for those who are asking about the hope that is in them. Those who want to find out, why are you serving Christ? Why have you committed your life to Christ Jesus? No, God's people can have a word in their heart, because the word is so much in your life that the Holy Spirit will bring back you, the word to your remembrance, and show you how to answer. He will tell you what to say at that time. We have to have a close relationship with God. We have to be abiding in him. Jesus said, if you abide in me and my word abide in you, you ask what you will and it shall be done. And when we are asked about the hope that is in us, we are able to give that answer that will bring honor and glory to the name of Jesus Christ. Peter said, you must be ready always to answer those who ask you of the hope that is in you with meekness and godly reverence. We do this with meekness and godly reverence. So we are supposed to be polite and respectful when we answer in those who have asked us of the hope that is in us. We want to represent Christ well. We want to be true representatives of Christ Jesus. We want to go forth in his power and in his love and relying upon the Holy Spirit in us who works in us. He is there to help us in whatever area that we need help. Verse 16 of 1 Peter chapter 3. Having a good conscience that whereas they speak evil of you, as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accused your good conversation in Christ. So Peter was saying that we should have a clear conscience that even when they are speaking evil of us, they will be ashamed because they accused you falsely. People of God, we have to know ourselves. And when we are doing what is right and they are saying we are doing what is wrong, let us go forth with a clear conscience, knowing that we are doing what God has called us to do. As children of God, let us continue to conduct ourselves well in Christ Jesus, knowing that we don't have to prove ourselves to the world because Christ knows our heart. So we're not going out there to prove anything. We're going out there to live a life pleasing to Christ and to declare Christ wherever we go. Let us go forth with a clear conscience. Once we know that we are doing what's right, let us go forth and do what the Lord has called us to do with courage and with confidence. 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 17 said, "For it is better if the will of God be so that you suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing." So Peter was saying it is better if the will of God be so. If this is the will of God for us to suffer, let us suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. Let it not be said that we are doing evil, but let it be said that we are doing good. Even though they might call our good evil, we know that what we are doing is good because we are doing it according to the will of God. In 2 Timothy 3, verse 12, Paul was speaking to Timothy. He said, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." Shall suffer persecution. It's not a if or when, but we know that this is something that will happen. It will happen. He said they shall suffer persecution. So there's a surety here that those who will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Let us go forth and know that as children of God, if we really decide in our hearts to live godly, we are going to suffer for it. But remember that we are not alone. The Lord is with us. The Holy Spirit is with us. He is able to bring forth that help, that comfort, that peace that we need, even in the time of suffering. Verse 18 of 1 Peter chapter 3. "For Christ also has once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit." So Christ also has once suffered for sin. He is the just one, and he suffered for us who are unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh. So he died a physical death, but alive by the Spirit. He's alive. He was still alive in the spirit, but his physical flesh was put to death. Let us turn to Hebrews 2, verse 10. Hebrews 2, verse 10. And we're going to see what the word says here about Christ's death. Hebrews 2, verse 10, the word of God says, "For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering." So Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. He was made perfect. He completed the work of redemption through suffering, and he brought many sons unto glory, those who have put their trust in Jesus Christ has now become the sons of God. So he brought many sons unto glory. The word of God say, he was put to death in the flesh. He died a physical death, but quickened by the Spirit, but made alive by the Spirit. Verse 19 of 1 Peter chapter 3, by which also he went and preached into the spirits in prison. So Peter was speaking about those spirits, those who have died during the time of the flood. So Christ went and spoke to all those that preached unto the spirits in prison. And we will see that clearly in verse 20 as we go on to verse 20. Which sometimes were disobedient when once the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a preparing, wherein few, that is 8 souls, were saved by water. So Peter was referring to what took place during the flood. Noah warned for over 120 years. 120 years he warned these people. He preached, he warned, but they were disobedient. Peter said they were sometimes disobedient when once the long-suffering of God waited. So the Lord was long-suffering towards them. Ask his servant Noah to preach to these people for 120 years. And they still did not repent. So while the ark was there preparing, wherein Peter said, only 8, as the word of God tells us, only 8 were saved by water. Only 8 were saved through the flood waters. Only 8. Only Noah and his family were brought safely through the flood waters. They were safe because of obedience to God. People of God, the Lord is reminding us today. And even as Jesus said in his word, he said, as was in the days of Noah, so shall it be. People of God, we don't want to be hearing warnings after warnings. The word of God coming to us from every side. And we are still stubborn and set in our ways and don't decide to change. The word of God tells us that only Noah and his family were brought safely through the flood waters. They were safe because of obedience to God. It was Noah's obedience to God, Noah's faith in God that saved himself and his family. People of God, the word of God is just reminding us today to take our salvation seriously. And those that are not yet saved, the Lord is saying today, now is the acceptable time. Now is the day of salvation. If you will hear the voice of the Lord, harden not your heart. The word of God is coming from so many different areas. And those that hear the word of God, let us purpose in our hearts to obey what God says. Let us not find ourselves like those people in the days of Noah. They would not listen to what God's servant was saying. They were all going about doing their own thing, concerned about all the earthly affairs, and not concerned about their souls. But the Lord is speaking today. He's saying, as was in the days of Noah, so shall it be. And we want to know that we are secure in Christ Jesus. We want to know that when he comes, we will go with him. But we have to do something here on earth first. We have to repent, turn from our wicked ways, turn to Jesus wholeheartedly. Ask him to come into your life. If you have not yet asked him into your life, ask him to come into your life to be your Lord and Savior. And those who are saved, ask him to keep you by his mighty power. He's able to keep us from falling and present us faultless before him. God is with us. people of God, but he's calling us to obedience. Noah was obedient. Noah's faith in God has saved him. God speaks, and he did what the Lord says. So we are also called to be faithful people, people who will put their trust in God and rest in who he is. Verse 21 of 1 Peter chapter 3. It said, the like figure whereunto even baptism does also now save us. Not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience towards God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So Peter was saying baptism is a symbol of a life that has been changed. But baptism cannot, people of God, save us. Baptism cannot save us. We have to know that. So we cannot go down into that water and come back up, and we did not repent and think that repentance can come that way. It does not. Baptism is a symbol of a life that has been changed by putting your trust in Jesus. So the first thing one has to do is to put their trust in Jesus. It cannot save you. We have to make it clear. Baptism cannot save you. It cannot cleanse you. But the result of a surrendered heart to God, the result of a clear conscience that this is the way that I've chosen. I've chosen to follow Christ. I've chosen to go his way. And when we look, people of God, in Acts chapter 2, 38, Peter was speaking here when he was giving his sermon, and the people came to him and said, what shall we do after such a sermon? Their hearts were convicted. They said, what shall we do? And Peter said, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of your sins, and then you will receive the Holy Spirit. So the repentance comes first and baptism after. So we don't baptize first and then we go repent after. No, repentance first and baptism comes after. So baptism is just showing that you have a clear conscience towards God and that you have decided to follow him and to go the ways of the Lord, and you have put your trust in the resurrected Christ. So that is what it is all about. It's a symbol of a changed life, of a life that has been changed by putting your trust in Jesus. So let us come to understand that repentance comes first. We first have to put our trust in Jesus Christ for the remission of our sins, for the forgiveness of our sins. And then after repentance come baptism, and we will receive the promise of the Father, who is the Holy Spirit. Verse 22 of 1 Peter chapter 3. He said, who is gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God? Angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him. And this is, Peter was speaking here about Jesus, who is gone into heaven. The resurrected Christ is gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God. He's sitting at the place of authority. The word of God said, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him. Angels, authorities, and powers bow before him. They worship him. He is sitting at the place of authority. The word of God said that he ever lived to make intercession for us. The Lord Jesus is calling his people into a deep relationship with him. He's calling his people to that place of seeing him in his exalted position. He's gone into the heaven and he's sitting at the right hand of God. He's at his exalted place. And we are to see him high and lifted up. We are to see him like Isaiah saw him. Isaiah saw him high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. We want to see him in his exalted position. We want to see him as Lord and Savior. Not just Savior, but Lord. We want to see him as Lord over our lives, people of God. We want to see him in his exalted position, King of kings, Lord of lords. the one who conquered death and the grave and Satan, the one who is coming back for us. His words remind us not to be troubled, even in these troublesome times, not to be troubled. Don't let your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Let not your hearts be troubled, people of God. You believe in God, believe also in Jesus Christ. That's his word in John 14. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. He's preparing that place for us now, people of God. And he's coming back. He's coming back for us. That where he is, there we will be also. We want to be people who are prepared for the coming of Jesus. We want our hearts to be prepared. We want to be ready for his coming. Peter said he's gone into heaven and he's at the right hand of the Father. But we also have to remember today that he is coming back. And those who have not yet received Jesus as Lord and Savior, now you have a chance to do so. And if you are listening this evening and you hear this word, I believe this word is for you this evening to come to Jesus. He said, come unto me, ye that have labored and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. He's calling. He's calling. Will you respond this evening? Will you respond to the call of Jesus Christ? His voice is his word. His word is coming, and those who hear and obey and decide to follow Jesus will be saved. But those who disobey will be like those people in the days of Noah who refused to listen to God's words, who refused to change their lives, and who perished in that flood. We don't want to perish, but we want to have eternal life in Christ Jesus. So we want to say yes to Jesus, and we want to be ready and willing to walk with him. And when suffering comes, we must know that he is with us. He said, in this world we will have tribulation, but he said, be of good cheer, for I have overcome. And because Christ has overcome, we are more than overcomers through him. So we want to go forth, people of God, in confidence. We want to go forth with the love of Jesus Christ in our hearts. We want to go forth and be rejoicing because he's in us and he makes us glad. So we want to remember that we are not alone. We have the blessed Comforter here with us, and he will keep us until Christ comes back for us. And his coming is so near. The signs of the times are everywhere, people of God. Let us not blind our eyes to what is going on, but let us be aware and say yes to Jesus, and let us hold fast to our profession of faith in Christ. God bless you here. We have finished this chapter, and next week we will go on to chapter 4. And I thank God for all those who listened this week, and I thank God for those that will give their life to Jesus Christ. Praise God. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word that has gone forth to your people. We thank you that your word is already active. It's already anointed. We thank you that your word does the work in the lives of your people. And we give you thanks and praise that your word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path, as we look to you by faith in no other name but the name of Jesus Christ. And we say amen, amen, amen. Have a blessed weekend. God bless you. And continue to lift up the name of Jesus. We'll come back and next week. God bless you. God's willing.
Thank you very much for listening to our Family Bible Teaching Ministry. Let's hope you have been blessed by this wonderful word, Thy Word is a Lamp. You can reach us at 561-667-8477. 561-667-8477. Join us again next week at the same time. Thy Word is a Lamp.